Hi everyone, it's Dina McKay, and I'm back with a brand new episode of Black Tech Unplugged, the podcast that allows Blacks in tech to share their authentic stories with you, the listener. On each episode, the guest talks about how they got into tech, their work in the industry, and lessons they've learned during their journey. You can find full show notes for this episode on blacktechunplugged.com. Let's jump in. Welcome to episode 86 of the podcast. And on this episode, I am joined by Justin E. Samuels. And Justin is a fearless technologist and visionary entrepreneur behind the groundbreaking Render Atlanta, also known as Render ATL Conference. He has an unyielding dedication to software engineering and championing underrepresented groups in technology. Justin is also a senior engineer at Intuit MailChimp, where he empowers small and medium-sized enterprises with cutting-edge marketing solutions, leaving an indelible mark on the tech landscape. With a keen eye for untapped opportunities and a commitment to diversity, Justin stands tall as a modern-day trailblazer, redefining leadership and innovation. On this episode, Justin and I talk about Render ATL, which is going to take place on June 12th through the 14th. We discuss the conference tracks, why it was created, and the special guests who are going to be at the conference. Also, when you listen to the episode, you will get a discount code for Render ATL, so make sure you listen to the entire episode. Furthermore, we touch briefly on Justin's own experience as a software engineer in tech and how he balances it all between work, being a founder, family, and more. So make sure you share this episode with your friends. Make sure to grab your tickets to Render ASAP because they're going to be going fast. The link to tickets and the discount code is in the show notes. I hope you enjoy the episode. And if you do, make sure to share with a friend. Now let's get it. Hi, everyone. Back with a brand new episode of Black Tech Unplugged. And today I am joined by Justin E. Samuels. Justin, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for having me.
So, Justin, for people who are not familiar, I want you to take a moment and briefly introduce yourself to the listeners.
My name is Justin E. Samuels. I'm the founder and CEO of a technology conference called Render ATL. Happens every year. June here in the beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. And that is my Batman job, as I call it. But my daytime job is I am a senior engineer at Intuit MailChimp.
All right. And Justin, we are going to spend actually most of today's conversation talking about Render, a little bit about your day job, but mostly focus on the wonderful conference that you throw. So
love it.
Let's start there. You are the founder, would you say CEO? Can I throw in creator of one of the best conferences around?
Render. I'm going to shamelessly say it is the best tech conference around.
Okay, I like it. What inspired you to start it?
What inspired me to start the conference was I was constantly traveling across the country to go further my education. As an engineer, we always have to think about what's upcoming current trends and also future trends. And I just got really tired of having to do that every single month, like crossing the country, going to a conference. But also while at the conference, I was beginning to feel isolated where everybody that I interacted with did not look like me at all, or I could not connect with them on any particular topic other than engineering. So I said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to build my own conference because A, it'll save me a ton of time and also money where I don't got to pay now to learn. But also, I'm going to build a conference that I would be proud to come to and that I could find all qualities and all kinds of walks of people there. So whether you're coming as a Black person, Asian person, white person, Indian, anything, you'll be able to find a person that you could bond with more at our conference, which was the genesis of it all, which is why we always say where talent feels welcomed.
Excellent. And for someone who's listening, let's actually break down who was the conference for? Who should be the people that are attending?
Yeah. So if you've never been before to any of our conferences, the people that usually come for one of several tracks. Track A, engineering, which is our most default one because I'm an engineer. I made that for somebody like me. Track number two would be design. So if you're a graphic artist, if you're a person that does the design systems at your job or anything design related, you could learn from people like Dan Amal on that track. But if neither of those two float your boat, you could come for our management track, which is all being a product and a project management, where you could learn about how to be a better PM or be a better PDM or just how to manage people and a project better. And then last but not least is our leadership track, where you could learn to lead a team better or even how to improve your quality of life through nurturing your own leadership skills.
Yes, that's completely different than a lot of the other conferences that you see around, especially that are geared towards tech. One thing I do want you to take a moment to define is, because we're talking and you mentioned PM and PDM. Just want you to spell that out for the audience who might not know what those acronyms mean.
My bad. It is a project manager is your PM and your PDM is your product manager.
Perfect. Thank you so much for doing that. And I love that you have different tracks. I love that you have a management track, because I think everyone listening and probably yourself have had an experience where maybe management, and you also mentioned leadership, but management or leadership hasn't been the best. So I'm glad that there's a focus on helping people improve that particular skill set.
Well, absolutely. That's a critical skill set that we need to hone that muscle on. If you want to create the best quality code and lead the best teams, those are two particular things that everybody needs to burst on.
I totally agree there. And so you're mentioning the different tracks, which are already unique from a tech conference perspective. But you've mentioned in the past that you wanted to do this conference your way. And I've also heard that you in the past have had amazing food, such as a hot wing bar, I'm just saying. But I want you to break down furthermore, like, what does that mean exactly for you when you said you wanted to do a conference your way?
So when I wanted to do it my way, I wanted it to be made where it is for your mid to senior level talent. Mm-hmm. And your talent can come learn from the best of the best, but also engage and have a good time partying, have a good time networking, have a good time creating new lifelong friendships. I wanted them to be able to do what you would do usually at home in a judgment-free zone, you know? Because I feel like when people come to conferences, they get usually upset and they begin to act a particular way. Whereas I wanted to build a vehicle where you could do anything you want to do. You could dress a particular way too, which is why we do themed days every year, where we had a themed day around cosplay in 2023, where people went all out on cosplay day, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't catch those at your usual tech conferences because they usually want you to either dress like a full-blown nerd, which if you could imagine, usually is graphic tee and a cargo short. That's it, right?
Right.
Or they want you to be a businessy. And I was like, everybody could come here. You could be in your business attire. You could be in your casual attire. You could be in your enemy attire. I don't care. I just care about you and continuing education and you having a great time and you cultivating those relationships for long term.
And you know what? That's a great segue into my next question, because you have all of this opportunity to learn and network and just really be yourself at Render. So if a new attendee is coming for the first time, you know, they're listening to this podcast, what advice do you have for them to get the full experience and value at Render?
I think the advice I got for them is, one, I want you to come to the conference with a plan. Not just come because of the vibes. I want you to come like, I'm going to go watch Ken Wheeler talk. I'm going to come watch Angie Jones talk. I'm going to come watch Dan Mullen talk. Like, come with a plan of who you want to hear talk. After you make that plan, come with a plan around what you want to learn and, you know, what you want to gain out of the conference. Because you could come and hear a whole bunch of talk, but it's almost like turning on a TV, right? You could turn it on, but just because it's on doesn't mean you're going to retain any information at all, right? So since you're not going to learn any information from that, come with a plan when it comes to adapt. And then also be open-minded about the new relationships with the new friend groups that you might make at the conference. And you are going to make new friends at the conference. You are going to connect with people that you admired on Twitter or even on Instagram. Those are the people that can help be your advocates and help you move up in the conversation at your job and in your long-term career.
And you know what? We don't talk about advocates and sponsors enough. And I know we can't dig into that today, but that is
That's such a huge thing.
Especially for people who look like us, because we don't do it that often. It was a skill that to be honest, growing up, we weren't taught. But it's so huge in a tech career, especially because the tech community, I would say, sometimes is smaller than we actually let on to, It's the tech community is small. You never know who knows who. So be open and network with people outside your company. Anyone can help you. So be open to that.
Correct. Absolutely. I agree. And it's usually those who you will least expect to help you will become your strongest advocate over time.
Yes. Yes. And speaking of strongest advocates over time, because you've been growing, if I recall, you probably are like 3 or 4 times bigger than when you originally started. So I want to talk about growth a little bit, and you've grown in not only number of attendees, but also revenue. So what have you learned from growing Render? Have you had a lot of advocates for you as well?
Oh, absolutely. Like every time I go to a company to talk about the conference, or I'm out and about minding my own business, people always come to me and they'll say, I heard about the conference through XYZ, a person, which is extremely powerful. Hearing about that through a secondhand source is more powerful than any kind of ad or any kind of paid promo I could ever do. So I have tons of advocates that have became advocates by coming to the conference, or just by experiencing anything else that I have been able to accomplish.
And that's excellent. And also, you know, we've been talking about the positives there, but I do have to go on the other side. And I have to ask about the challenges. So what challenges have you had while building out Render?
So the number one challenge that I have while building up the conference is, and this doesn't sound very cliche, but the number one problem I had is money. A capital, because there's a phrase in entrepreneurship which goes, growth eats cash, where if you are growing, it does require cash flow. Because if you don't have the cash flow, you can't make the growth happen. It's just not going to be a pop.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Black entrepreneurs are usually more underfunded than any other class out there. So I always talk about how I'm a bootstrap entrepreneur, and I am proud of that, but it is not by choice. It is by circumstance. I had to be that because of the circumstance where nobody would give us funding. Couldn't even get a loan at a bank, much less.
Wow.
And the good thing, though, is that by that happening, you have to become better at how you navigate and how you scale over time. And you have to get more wiser and a more craftier at things that you can do, things that you can't do, things that you can't take a chance on. I'll always bet on myself, and I will always proudly bet on my team too. But we have to be smart with our bet. So the other thing I joke about is building this conference has aged me beyond my years too, both like physically and also mentally too. But it's been great overall.
And you know what, from the perspective of even creating a tech conference, like, no one's just out here like, you know what, I'm gonna pop up and create a tech conference. For those who might be interested in doing something like that, what are maybe like 3 lessons that you've learned while building
and even just starting Render? Because I'm sure you've had some surprises along the way.
So I would actually disagree here, where there are lots of people that actively try. It's just that we only ever hear about the ones that actually take off.
Oh.
There's lots of people that begin their own smaller conference. And I tell people all the time, don't call it a conference. Call it a seminar. Call it a symposium. It don't got to go for a conference. A conference comes with a ton of expectations. Like, are you going to have the hallway track, aka a network? Are you going to have a coffee hour? Are you going to fly out your speakers? Are you going to pay for the speakers? Like, there's a lot that comes with the word conference. You inherit a ton of expectations, right? Whereas if you say, I am doing a gathering even, or I'm doing a small symposium, it's like, oh, this isn't going to be all of that. It kind of scales down expectations in the mind of the consumer. So now, so expectations are scaled down, you're able to now navigate and grow at a more predictable and acceptable pace. You know, so there are lots of people that try. It's just, it's like, honestly, going to the NBA, lots of people try, but only a small 0.1% make it out.
I love the way that you frame this. It could be a gathering. It could be a get together. It doesn't have to necessarily be called a conference, because, and I like that for a couple different reasons. One, the experience is what you make it. So maybe it's just a networking opportunity. You could call it that, but whatever it is you're calling it, it doesn't have to be. I feel like conference has a serious connotation to it. If I don't know.
Correct.
If you agree. And conference, like you said, it adds this unneeded expectation to it.
Correct. Correct. Correct.
And you know, you mentioned future a little bit. So I'm curious, what is your future vision for Render? Where do you see it going in the next maybe like 5 years?
Next 5 years. A bigger names, more talks, a bigger scaled out hallway track. And just to be clear, those on the call that don't know what a hallway track is, a hallway track is the networking time, where you call the hallway track because you are engaging with people in the hallway in between talks. That's where the name came from. But yeah, a bigger hallway track, more talks, more intentionality, and just overall bigger.
And I'm very excited to see what happens with the growth, with the conference itself. And I do want to switch gears a little bit because, you know, we're talking about Render, but I do want to make sure the listeners also know that you're not just the tech conference creator. You are also in tech yourself. So you understand what we're going through because you are also a techie. So tell my listeners what role you play in the tech ecosystem / industry.
Yeah. So my day job, where I'm Clark Kent, is I am a senior engineer at Intuit MailChimp. Been there for the last 4.5 years now. And I've been engineering since out of college. So I've been an engineer since 2015.
And now, how did you get into tech? Because I recall correctly, you were originally kind of like a food scientist, or you were in the culinary arts. So how did you make the switch from that into technology?
Oh, so me doing the culinary arts thing that you heard about, that was because I got into a program at my school, Mississippi State, where the program offered a way for you to have a full ride, pretty much, if you operated in that particular program. So I did that while also double majoring in the College of Business. And I got my bachelor's degree in business administration with an emphasis in what's called a business information assistance. So I like to always say I'm like the avatar. I could go between computer sciencey things and business things pretty effortlessly, which is how I built the conference now, or how I built any company I began, being able to be good at that. Talking to talk about a business and walking to walk about engineering.
That's pretty awesome. And you know what? To be honest, that takes a lot of time. So I'm really curious, how do you have time for all of this stuff? You're working a 9-to-5, you got Render, you have family, it's just all a lot. So how are you balancing all of this?
So how am I balancing it? The answer is I am not. every day is a challenge. So it's honestly me waking up early at 4 a.m. And just having an organized task list of things I have to accomplish that day. Whether it's even getting on this a podcast, I have to look at my calendar at 4 a.m. and say, okay, 2 o'clock, a podcast, fall, boom, what I need to know about it, right? Or 10 o'clock, I have to do this team meeting. You know, you just got to know what's on your calendar each and every day. And also because I do give my 9 to 5 to my job, it's also balancing in that space too, where again, this podcast call happening during working hours. So I say, okay, great. I know from 2 to 3, lunch break. Boom. There we go. Do that thing. While I'm also eating a food or I'm also doing XYZ. So you just gotta know how to keep an organized priority list of things you must do every day. But then also B, you need to also lean on technology, whether that's using Calendly, whether that's using your calendar on your phone, whether that's even using a text message to tell you that your upcoming meeting is in a half an hour. These little cues or these little aids help me effortlessly move throughout my day to where it's not as stressful, because it is, but it helped take that off because it's doing all the thinking for me.
Exactly. And you know what? I appreciate that you mentioned balance and keeping track of your meetings, situations like that. One thing that you don't mention, you kind of mentioned, but you don't say it explicitly, is also it sounds like you have really good boundaries. So for us, you know what's on your calendar, you know what time you can eat lunch, etc. But you sounds like you don't let outside or external factors kind of creep into that time. Like, you know what you can accomplish and what you can't.
Yeah, it's even like us hopping on this call. I could have went back and forth with you and said, here's my calendar, and blah, blah. But I instantly said, here's my marketing team. Talk to them. They'll get it on the calendar and we'll go from there. And it just makes it much easier because I'm trying to process 20 million things that's hitting my inbox at that exact same time. Whether it's for the conference or whether it's for my job when I'm on the clock, 9 to 5, I'm trying to take the cognitive load off and only use that processing power for things that need my immediate attention.
Right. Because you know what you can also run into when you don't have that? Decision fatigue.
Correct. Correct. Every day I am making a call on what I might be doing at work. And that's the cool thing about an engineering job is that you have a ton of autonomy. But autonomy stops at what the work has done. So at the beginning of the sprint cycle, our team is like, here are the tickets you have to complete, right? But you got to complete it by the end of the cycle. And as a result of that, it's like, here you go, go about your day, call if you need any help. And you keep the autonomy the whole entire time until you prove that you can. And I want to continue to prove that I can. And the only way to prove that I can is by me, like we had taught out, having those hard boundaries.
Yes, yes. Thank you for sharing, because again, a skill that we should know, but we're not taught, especially at a younger age. And it's important, especially as you get into tech, because creating a balance and having a schedule is so important, because people will try to get your time anytime that they can.
Absolutely.
And Justin, to end today's conversation, for people who are interested in Render, why is it important to come for 2024? Can you give me a little sneak peek at what highlights some people will have if they attend?
Yeah, so this year we wanted to show that engineers and people in tech, any tech professional, we want to be on a bigger stage. We want to show people that, hey, a Render can compete with anything out there that you might call a big tech conference. And a big tech conference usually calls up a bigger name in tech or outside of tech to come speak at the conference because everybody just wants to meet these particular people. So one of the people that we're having at the conference this year is no other than Shannon Sharp. So he is speaking at the conference as a keynote this year. And then our concert is going to be headlined by Anderson Paak this year.
Nice.
So we got a couple more big names that we're kind of firming right now too. But I say that to say is going back to the networking and the hallway track, when you pull in big names like this, other people want to attend, not just because of the great content that come out the conference, but the content's amazing. Even for 2024, we have an AI track, and I mean true AI around matrices and everything else in between. But the thing about it is when you bring in these bigger names, more people come. That is on a higher level, because how often are you going to get to see a Shannon Sharpe in person talking about a topic that you care about? How often are you going to get to hear Anderson Paak live at a private concert? And he's coming underneath his DJ name, DJ Pee-wee, which hardly ever happens. So these are things that people that are in entertainment, that's also in various forms of tech, want to come here, want to come see, want to come witness it. And it allows you to have an expanded hallway track as a result of that. So even though it's not quote unquote pure tech, just having them there will make your introductions better and at a higher caliber.
And interesting you mention it being pure tech, because I know there's been, I don't know if you've seen feedback from other conferences, I'll say, where people get upset that it's not pure tech. Do you think that's an issue, or do you think that adds some, what I would say, flavor and culture to the experience?
It is an issue, and here's why. So if you look at a lineup, or you listen to anything that I said in this whole podcast, everything has been around tech, but hardcore tech too. I mean, even my resume will tell you that I've been a hardcore engineer for the last 10 plus years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is that we sometimes will try to call a thing a technical conference or a technical session. But the only thing that they're talking about tech is how to use Microsoft Word. You know, that's not a tech conference. A tech conference allows you to learn and grow and stay within the current and upcoming trends. Things that you will only learn if you are around other people that are actively doing the thing. Not people that are quote unquote actively doing the thing only for social media clicks. What you do is you only bring in these bigger names to just add a little bit of gasoline onto your overall conference. You don't make it overly saturated too. Then at that point, you have all of these big names up there. Where is the engineer at? Where is the designer at? Where is the product and project manager at? Where are the people that's actually building at? You want to remain a true technical focused conference, which is why you will hear us say at the conference, Render ATL, we know tech. We put the tech in the word technology. We're a technical conference.
I think that there's been, I don't know if I would say a misconception or kind of some bad blood, because, you know, when you bring external speakers in and they're not tech related, people kind of get a little anxious. So I'm thankful that you explained it, because to be honest, I haven't heard anyone else having this conversation around that. And I think that gives people insights into the thought process from a tech conference creator of why that's even happening. And plus, I also want to see Shannon Sharpe, so I will be there to take some notes myself.
It's going to be craziness. Make sure if you're tuning in, get that a VIP pass. I'm not telling you that because it costs more. Telling you that because it's only capped at 300 attendees. So of the 5,000 people coming, 300 of them have that VIP pass. That's it. And if you get the VIP pass, you know who else also has them? Speakers. So your odds of you running into whoever you just seen up there go up astronomically. So it is honestly worth it, because you'll be able to meet more of the crowd that can help you move up, going back to what we said, advocates and mentors, and allow you to fanboy or fangirl out over the people that you truly admire.
But I'm going to throw a little caveat here. And this is just because I've seen, like, you can feel fan out. I'm not saying that's wrong. We all have people we want to meet. Like, if we all met Beyonce, we're going to fangirl out.
Absolutely.
But I also want to remind people that people are still humans, because we also talk to them like they, like, you know what I mean? That they're like superhuman. But remember, people are still humans. So also give that courtesy to folks. If you're going to run up and meet them, you know, don't scare them a little bit. You know what I mean? So I want to throw that out there too.
I agree.
And you know what, Justin, we keep talking about the conference, but we never told people where they could get tickets. So if someone's looking to go to the conference, doesn't have their ticket yet, needs to get that VIP ticket, where do they go?
Boom. So you're going to go to renderatl.com, RENDERATL.com. Go there. We're going to create your a discount code live right now. So what do you want your podcast discount code to be?
Let's make it BTU.
Cool. So type that discount code in when you're about to go check out, and you'll get a 15% off of any of your tickets for the conference. So use that code. Do not wait around, because then you'll be mad that everything is going up astronomically.
Excellent. And thank you for doing that. 15% off. Listen to the podcast. You get 15% off using code BTU for the Render Conference. So you better be heading there to go get your tickets.
Absolutely. Or you will just hear about it on Twitter and you'll be sad like everybody else was last year.
Yes, the FOMO will kick in. I can guarantee that. And Justin, any final words before ending the podcast today? Any pieces of advice, anything we didn't cover that you want to give the listeners?
Piece of advice is to remember, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're in your long-term career, if you're doing anything, whether it's being a mother, being a father, anything at all, then the name of the game is consistency and a little longevity. It's all about not who could get there the quickest, per se, because if you get there the quickest, it helps. But it's also about who can do the job every single day, not just on the days that they're feeling good or on the days that they aren't feeling good, but who could do the job back to back without quitting. And don't get me wrong, there are days where you might want to quit. There are days that you might quit for a couple hours, but it's all about coming back and keeping in the race the whole time. As long as you stay consistent, and you don't quit, and you go until you honestly know in your heart it is time to leave the game, like how a Kobe did or how Jordan did, you will be okay. Peaks and valleys, everybody.
You heard them. Peaks and valleys. Justin, thank you for your insights today. Before I let you go, though, for the people who are listening and they want to connect with you, where can they connect with you, be it social media or offline from the podcast?
Yeah, if you want to connect with me personally, you can follow me on LinkedIn. LinkedIn underneath Justin, J-U-S-T-I-N, E, like the letter E, Samuels. S-A-M-U-E-L-S. Justin E. Samuels on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and everywhere else, even on Pinterest. You can find me underneath my moniker of Doug Debugger, E-H-E-G-D-E. B-U-G-G-E-R, Doug Debugger, across Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, everything else. And if you want to learn about the conference, it's just underneath RENDERATL, R-E-N-D-E-R, across all platforms.
Justin, you keep it tech and culture, even down to your name on social media. And for that, I appreciate it all, but mostly appreciate you for all your tips, advice, and insights today. So just want to say thank you, and I hope that everyone enjoys the episode.
All right, thank you for having me again.
Thank you for listening to Black Tech Unplugged. I'm Dina McKay, and you can find the show on all social media platforms under Black Tech Unplugged. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to this episode. And if you have a few extra minutes, make sure to leave a 5-star review too. It will help me out a lot and help other people find the podcast. Until next time.